We come now to God's Word this morning. We'll be in Luke chapter 18 this morning, reading together verses 15 through 17. So I invite you to turn with me in your copy of God's Word or in the Pew Bible in front of you as we read together Luke 18 verses 15 through 17. Let's give our attention now to the reading of God's Word. Now they were bringing even infants to him, that he might touch them. And when the disciples saw it, they rebuked them. But Jesus called them to him, saying, "Let the little children come to me, and do not hinder them, for to such belongs the kingdom of God. Truly, truly, I say to you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God like a child shall not enter it." Brothers and sisters, this is the word of the Lord. Let us pray. Father, as we come before your word this morning, let us come with the hearts of a child. Let us come humbly. Let us come needfully, confessing, Lord, that in us is only poverty, but in Christ are immeasurable riches. In us is only sin, but in Christ is magnificent righteousness and forgiveness and redemption. Would you speak to us this morning, Father, for your servants are listening. In Jesus' name, amen. You are acting like a child. Has anybody ever said that to you? Have you ever said that to someone? It's not a positive statement, is it? It's often meant as a rebuke, a correction. It's used for when an adult is acting immaturely or inappropriately, irresponsibly. You see, grown-ups, they have a certain standard of behavior to maintain, expectations to uphold. A certain way to act is to be acceptable in society. And it is certainly not acceptable for an adult to act like a child. Or is it? As we come to our passage in God's Word this morning, we find Jesus making a surprising statement that not only is it acceptable for his followers to act like children, it's required for them to act like children. To come to Christ as a child would is not just an acceptable way to enter into his kingdom. It is the only way to enter into his kingdom. The kingdom of God, you could say, belongs to those who are acting like children. Now, of course, we have some work to do to qualify exactly what that means and define what Jesus is saying here. But I can't think of a more important topic for us to meditate on as we prepare to celebrate our Savior's birth together as a church family. Because unlike any other time of year, Christmas is when we all begin to have the mind of a child again for just a few short weeks. We turn back the clock and begin to think like children again. We give and we receive gifts. We sing songs that we sang when we were younger. We drink hot cocoa. We listen to music. We watch the old classic movies we've always watched. And we're filled with nostalgia of when we were younger. Perhaps if you're feeling cynical, you might be tempted to say to yourself, well, that's just kids' stuff. Christmas is just for children. And you would actually be correct. The message that we come to celebrate this Advent season, the good news of Christmas, is for children. Children in age and children at heart. But what does that mean exactly? In what way are we to receive the kingdom of God like children? How are we to receive the kingdom of God in that way, and why is that the only way? Those are the questions that our passage this morning answers. What does it mean to come to Christ like a child? We'll consider two answers together. Two answers for what does it mean to come to Christ like a child. It means, first, to come in need, and second, to come in faith. So first, to come as a child is to come in need. Look back just at verse 15 with me. It says, "Now they were bringing even infants to him that he might touch them, and when the disciples saw it, they rebuked them." You can just imagine this scene. As the crowds began to press in on Jesus, a line began to form of parents with young and rambunctious children. They were anxious. They were holding their crying infants and toddlers. They brought these children to Jesus so that he might lay his hands on them and bless them. Perhaps they were getting to be too loud. Perhaps they were beginning to make a scene. Whatever the case, the disciples saw what was happening and they began to get annoyed. Surely this sort of ministry was beneath Jesus, they began to think in their heads. Surely Jesus had no time for needful, helpless children such as these. Surely these children were just a distraction for Jesus, keeping him from ministering to the people who he actually came to minister to. And so the disciples rebuked them. They began to tell them to move on, that Jesus had no time for little ones like these. But listen to what Jesus says in verse 16. "Let the little children come to me, and do not hinder them, for to such belongs the kingdom of God." You see, these little children were not beneath Jesus. They were not distracting Jesus. They were not taking Jesus' attention away from the people who he actually came to minister to. No, in fact, they are the very type of people that Jesus came to minister to. They were the only type of people that Jesus came to minister to. See, friends, Christ's eternal kingdom, his eternal kingdom of joy and peace and salvation and life, it belongs to people who are like these little children. That's what Jesus says. To such belongs the kingdom of God. Now, what does Jesus mean by this? He doesn't mean that the kingdom of God belongs only to little children. He means that the kingdom of God belongs to those who are like these children, those who are coming to him as these children are coming to him. And what characterizes these children? What characterizes these infants, these young children who are being brought to him? What characterizes them more than anything is their neediness. They can't even bring themselves to him. They have to be brought. What characterizes them is their neediness, their helplessness, their complete dependence on somebody else. I'll never forget becoming a father for the first time, seeing Benjamin with my own eyes, the nurse handing him to me, all 7 pounds, 15 ounces, and looking at him, looking at that little baby, and just being overwhelmed with the feeling, look at how little he is. Look at how helpless he is. He's going to need Allie and I for everything. You see, little children, infants, toddlers, they are completely helpless. They're needy. And that is exactly what qualifies them and those who come like them to inherit the kingdom of God. You see, the kingdom of God belongs to those who come with nothing. Those who come only with their need, who come to him in their helplessness, who come completely dependent on his provision and care. Friends, we do not come before Christ this day with our proficiency. We do not come with our performance. We do not come with our ability, with our riches, with our righteousness. Now we come before him this day with nothing but our need. And that is the only way to come. It's one of the realities we remember around Christmas time. Every Advent season, when we meditate what God has done for us in Christ, that God himself humbled himself to the point of becoming like a little child. What do we see as we meditate on this reality? Yes, we see that God did not spare his only beloved Son, but he gave him up for us all. We see that God became a man to save us from our sin. We see the infinite cost of our redemption. Yes, we see all those things, but what we are to see most of all is just how much we need Jesus. When we consider the cost of our redemption, we're to remember just how dependent we are for the salvation that God has wrought for us in Christ. We're to see that we have no other hope in this life, that God so loved the world that he gave us his only beloved Son, so that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. We remember that's our only hope. We're completely dependent on that. And so we come to him like children. No pretense. No presumption, just a dependent need for his grace, for his forgiveness, and for his blessing. And so if you find yourself here this morning, uniquely aware of your need, uniquely aware perhaps of your sin and your shame, maybe you're at church for the first time in a long time, and you're uniquely aware of your unworthiness, uniquely aware of your helplessness before God. Maybe you don't even feel like you should be here. You need to know that you are in the right place. And if you are coming to Jesus in a posture of repentant, humble need, you're coming to him in the very posture that he requires of you. One of my favorite modern Christmas songs puts it this way. It's a play on the classic, "O Come All Ye Faithful." Here's just the first stanza. "O come all you unfaithful. O come, all you unfaithful, come, weak and unstable, come, know that you are not alone. O come, barren and waiting ones, weary of praying, come, see what your God has done. Christ is born, Christ is born, Christ is born for you." This is how we come before God today, beloved. In our need, weak, unstable, unable, to see and take hold of in faith what God has done for us in Christ. That's the first way that we come to Christ as children. We come in our need. And second, we come in faith. Look back at verse 17 with me. Christ goes on to say in verse 17, "Truly I say to you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God like a child shall not enter it." The kingdom of God comes to those, and it belongs to those who come in their need, and it belongs to those who receive it in faith. You see, it's not enough just to realize that you have a need. It's not just enough to come helplessly. Coming to Christ as a child means receiving and resting upon what he's done to help you. It means transferring your trust from yourself and onto Christ, his finished work, the fullness of his kingdom. That's what Jesus means here when he speaks of receiving the kingdom of God like a child. It means to receive freely in faith what God has done to help you in Christ. Because that is another characteristic of a young child, isn't it? Not only are they needy, not only are they helpless, They are constantly looking to their parents for help. And they receive that help freely at first. They trust in their parents to do for them what they cannot do for themselves. If you are the parent of a toddler, or you remember those days, you remember the countless times throughout the day that your child came to you. Mom, dad, for even the littlest thing, they come to you for help with everything. And your child cries out to you like that because they trust you. They trust and they have faith that you're going to provide for their needs. No matter how many times they call, you're going to provide for their needs. That's what we speak of when we speak about a childlike faith. It's a simple faith. A simple faith that God is who He says He is, that God has done what He says He has done, and that God will provide what He says He will provide, that God will provide every single one of our needs in Christ Jesus our Lord. This is, of course, in contrast then to what happens when children get just a little bit older. When they get just a little bit older, they begin not to ask for help in faith, but to insist upon their independence. The cries, they change really quickly from "Mommy, Daddy, help me," to "No, I can do it all by myself. I can do it all by myself." You see, what creeps into the heart of a child is what creeps into all of our hearts. It's a prideful independence, insisting that we know better, insisting that we don't need Christ, insisting that we can do it all by ourselves. And the danger for many of us is to have this attitude begin to characterize the way that we draw near to God. Where instead of coming to Christ in our need, trusting in His finished work, we start to come before Him in our pride, in our pretense, in our pretending like we don't need Him at all. And how much frustration this leads to in life, how much frustration this leads to. Because just like a little child who cannot get that button through or who keeps putting their shoes on the wrong feet, the harder and harder and harder we try, the more frustrated we get. When all we need to do is stop and ask for help. Friends, as we celebrate Advent together as a church family, not only are we to remember how much we need Jesus, we're to remember to draw near to Him in faith, to admit our need, to confess our need, to receive and rest upon Him, to ask for help, to confess our sin, to repent of it, to ask for forgiveness, and then to trust in the sufficiency of what He has done for us. You see, like a young child, we are to never grow tired of crying out to our loving Father in dependent faith, saying in our hearts, "Father, help me. Grant me faith. Make me dependent on You. I can't, but You can. I'm not enough, but Jesus is enough. Help me to trust Him more and more. Take my need and grant me His fullness. Take my poverty, grant me His riches. Take my sin, give me His righteousness. Fasten my heart to the rock of Christ." That is the cry of a Christian. The cry of a childlike heart. A cry of needful, dependent faith. And make no mistake, that is the only way to enter into the kingdom, beloved. That's what's at stake here in this verse, in these verses. Read again what Christ says with me in verse 17. He says, "Truly I say to you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God like a child shall not enter it." You see, the only way to come to Christ, beloved, is to come in faith. To come in the type of faith that we confessed together this morning in our time of confession, in a justifying faith, realizing our need, throwing ourselves on the finished work of Christ. The only way to come to Christ is through faith. To come like a child, humbly receiving the salvation you could never win for yourself, trusting in what Christ has done to save you, in his life, death, and resurrection. To come any other way, to come under the guise of religious performance, religious pride, religious pedigree, to come presuming that you're basically a good person, to come assuming that the good things that you've done in life will someday outweigh the bad things and God will receive you because of that. To come any other way outside of a helpless childlike need, outside of a dependent faith in Christ, is to fail to enter the kingdom of God and to remain dead in your sins. Friends, the upside down message of Christmas is that God sent his son to be born as a helpless child in Bethlehem, to live the life required of us, to die the death that we deserve. And here's why he did this. To save a people who could bring nothing to him except their need. To save a people who could bring nothing to him, who could do nothing for him, and who deserved nothing from him. To give such a salvation away freely, to be received in humble, childlike faith to the praise of his glorious grace. I'll leave you with the last stanza of the hymn that serves as our meditation this week, the title of our sermon, Away in a Manger. It's the hymn we meditate on this day. It's the hymn that we're about to sing. It's written in the voice of a young child, calling out to God in humble need. Maybe you've never prayed such prayer before God. Maybe you've never cried out to him like that. Let us consider that prayer together. And would God grant us such a childlike faith? The last stanza says, "Be near me, Lord Jesus. I ask thee to stay close by me forever and love me, I pray. Bless all the dear children in thy tender care and fit us for heaven to live with thee there." That is the prayer that God hears. Amen. Let us pray. Oh, Father, grant us such childlike faith. So often, Father, we come in our proficiency, we come in our pretending, we come with our false strength, we come with our false goodness. Oh, Father, humble us this day as we look upon Christ, as we see the great salvation that he has won for us. There is no room for boasting. All we can do is come in humble need. Oh, Father, grant us such faith. Grant us such dependence. Let us see our helplessness and run to Christ. And it's in his name we pray. Amen and amen.